Welcome to the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast, the original sex and storytelling series featuring real people and rock stars sharing their bona fide sexual adventures. And now, here she is, Bawdy's founder, the grand dame of dirty storytelling, that impresario of pervy personal narrative, sexual folklorist, Dixie De La Tour.
Hey everybody, it's the Bawdy Storytelling Podcast. We are back with the second part of our live show recorded in San Francisco. The theme of the evening was Craigslist, Tales of Sex and Social Media. And if you tuned in last week, you got to hear stories about... you got to hear stories about couch surfing, about Craigslist, about FetLife. Oh, FetLife. Are you on FetLife? Look me up. I'm Dixie DLT on FetLife. You should be my friend on there. Don't send me a picture of your dick. I get too many of those things. So we are back with different social sites that people have hooked up on. And you'll get to find out which ones they are. We're going to be back with music from our musical guest. And so if you were at a live show, and remember, my goal in life is to get your ass to a live show, you would have come back from break right about now. You'd have had a cocktail. Maybe you'd have had a Dixie Loves Butt Sex, which is delicious. It's made out of sweet tea vodka usually, because that makes it kind of light brown and kind of weird looking. But recently I was given the drink menu to the venue that I use in LA, and they could not find sweet tea vodka. So I said, do y'all have access to a candy store? And they went, well, there's one down the street. And I'm like, why don't y'all just use regular vodka and then maybe soak a Tootsie Roll in it? So we have other drinks, the FetLife First Date, the Bratty Bottom, the things like that. And you can have a Jack and Coke. You can have a Sin and Tonic, whatever you want. You can play Bango, which is our dirty bingo game. That means you have permission to maybe write in a question. And you can, you know, you got your eye on somebody, you can write a special question just for them to get your flirt on. So you're well lubricated. You probably got a good buzz going by now. And we're going to bring you back into the show. This is part two of Bawdy Live in San Francisco, and the theme is Craigslist.
All of my life, I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous, get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be.
Keeping score, Alyssa, our first storyteller, was just standing out on the sidewalk. She is interested in people who read and eat pussy. Susanna won't let me fix her up yet. I really want to. I adore her. And Jessica's about to go out of town, so I'm thinking one last hurrah. So we are going to start with the second half of the show. And I know you're very excited about all the very attractive people you met. I've had like 15 attractive people. I'm all flutter-pated. Is that a word? Because beautiful people are coming up going, I love you. And I'm like, oh, I like you too. You guys are really into it. And I hope you got some great phone numbers. I hope that you got the names of people that you wanted to flirt with off of Bango. And if I didn't mention it, this bag right here is full of sex toys. So if you haven't already made that
perfect connection. Walking around with about $900 worth of sex toys is definitely the way to make that happen. Because I'm going to pull you on stage and embarrass you, and everybody's going to know you have sex toys. So we'll do that very soon. But the thing you need to know, the thing we all need to focus on really hard right now, pay attention. Are you paying attention? Are you paying attention? When the second half of the show starts, you've flirted with hot people, you've talked to strangers, you've heard stories about buttholes, you're really excited, and you're kind of all scattered all over the place. But the people in the second half of the show deserve every bit of love that you gave the first half of the show. And you gave the first half of the show an enormous amount of love. So are you ready for the second half of the show? We are about to come back with music. She writes custom dirty songs for us, like you heard at the beginning of the show. And she's back with even more. Save it up, hang on, and give all your love to Amber Lee Baker.
Thank you. Well, I really like people with good manners, so I wrote this song. You ask if you can kiss me. I agree it, that would be lovely. You ask to take down my hair. Ever so humbly, you ask to remove my shoes. My feet would be quite enthused. You invite me into your chair. So sweetly, I cannot refuse. One request at a time. You seduce me so nicely. You are charming and kind, and you ask so politely. You ask so politely. You ask to unbutton my shirt and bite my neck like a flirt. Your tongue follows your fingers and asks if you can unzip my skirt. My stockings are coaxed around. My ankles rise off the ground. Your touch begins to linger as you go down. One request at a time. You seduce me so nicely. Charming and kind, and you ask so politely. You ask so politely. Into your embrace. One request at a time. You seduce me so nicely. You are charming and kind, and you ask so politely. You ask so politely. Thank you.
So I was talking to a few of y'all out on the street, and you're thinking about your own stories as you're sitting here and listen to the stories that are on the stage. And that's the whole idea behind Body. We believe that everybody has a story, and everybody should be on stage and get the kind of love that everybody in this show gets. So I want you to think about this. My email is dixie@bodystorytelling.com, and the best part of my job is when I wake up the morning after a show and you guys have sent me emails telling me your stories. And that's when I'm like, how the fuck did this become my life? Because people tell me, one woman had sex with Fabio. Like, stuff that you might be lucky enough to stand next to somebody at a party and go, did I actually hear what I think I heard? Except they email me and tell me these stories. So in the morning, before I go meet Susanna for coffee, before she heads back to LA, I would love to see that my email box is full of stories from you sitting out there in the dark who are going, I totally can do this. And don't worry. You don't have to tell, like, a perfect stage-worthy story. You just have to tell a story to me. And I choose stories that head off in different directions, and I work with you and I coach you so that you can get on stage and rock the stage. And hasn't everybody here on stage tonight rocked the stage so far? I got you. I'm going to make sure it's one of the best experiences of your life. That's what I do. So send me your story, and let's make that happen. Our next storyteller is one of my best friends in the world and is an incredible pervert. Yay! I am lucky enough to have my phone ring at 8 a.m., and it is often a story that makes me go, what? And that's only like 7 days a week, you know. The things that we all dream of doing, Sister Flora Goodtime is out there doing for us. Every fantasy I ever had where I'm like, if only I were ballsy enough, if only I could get out there and do these things, Flora is my spirit animal. And she hosts a weekly karaoke party, if you like karaoke. She performs at the Stud every Thursday night. That's tomorrow night. It is called Sing Till It Hurts, and it's free. And it is so much fun, and I'll be there tomorrow night. And I would love to see all of you so we can hang out and sing really bad psychedelic furs. That's got to be bad, right? She is a karaoke queen, she is a sister of perpetual indulgence, and she is a fucking rock star and one of my favorite people in the world. So I want you to really tear this building up and make a fuck ton of noise for Sister Flora Goodtime.
Give it up for Titsy's dicks. Dixie's tits. Did you guys have a good intermission? How about that Amber and her little accordion? Isn't that fucking fantastic? It's gorgeous. You need to get a good view of it. It's beautiful. So I don't know if you guys know this, but I spent my junior years in high school and those years when all the hormones are kicking in a 300-person town in Idaho. In my class, there were four grades at a time, taught by one teacher, with about 25 to 18 kids in a room, because that's kind of what you do in the country. So I was a little repressed. And I was never able to really fully tune in to my gaydar and really just like peg them out in a crowd and find them in a public restroom and tap dance. I never learned that lingo. And so flash forward, I'm now living in the Bay Area and I've got a smartphone, which is pretty much gaydar because I have this thing called Grindr. For those of you who don't know it, it's fantastic. It is gaydar on your phone. It is GPS locating a hungry hole at any time. The negotiation happens all over your phone. You could be at jury duty. They have free Wi-Fi. I've done it. Grindr is fantastic. You can travel abroad. I've gone to Malta and visited Sister Mabel, who just got off the plane from Malta. She's there right now. If you don't know where it is, it's between Africa and Italy. It's beautiful. You got to check it out. They film Game of Thrones there and other bullshit. It's fantastic. But anyways, Grindr works out there too. And there's gay people. And they're on it. And you can have sex on the beach there. And I've done it. It's fantastic. And there's no sand. It's not going to hurt. It's all limestone. Grindr. It's fantastic. Anyways, so this story that I really want to tell you guys about, one of many, happened this Sunday. So as Dixie said, I'm a karaoke queen. I'm really horrible at it, but it's fun. So I go with this traveling karaoke lounge. We travel cross country for corporations, making them look better than they are, and promoting their product, and giving out free booze, and making them sing karaoke, and it's on this psychedelic bus with all these lights going on, and everything's free, 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 fun, fun, fun. Something that started at Burning Man and just kind of goes around the world. So I do this, and we're like the after-after party where everybody goes, and we're working until about 5:30 in the morning, and I get off work, and I've started at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. It's about 5:30 in the morning. I'm tired, but I'm not that tired. So while we're cleaning up the RV, bloop, bloop, bloop. If you don't know, that's the sound of Grindr. And somebody's contacting you to say, I want your dick inside of me. Yeah, 5:30 in the morning. You know who's texting you at 5:30 in the morning? They're either tweakers, out of their mind, can't get hard, not so much fun, a little uninhibited if you're feeling a little crazy, but I'd rather not get the venereal disease this week. So I go for the drunk guy, which is like the other guy who's up at 5:30 in the morning, who doesn't realize the bar closed a couple hours ago and just woke up from a nap in his car. Yeah. I found that guy. He was a dandy. I don't know if you know what a dandy is, but they look very proper. They look like they just jumped out of like Oliver Twist. He had his spats on. He had a nice little vest. He had a bow tie and a mustache. I had guyliner on, cut off sleeves, a hoodie, and flip-flops. I was done. I wanted to get my dick wet and I wanted to go to bed. Like, is that too much to ask? So I'm staying at a friend's house, and I'm sharing a futon with my best girlfriend, Portland. And I know she'll really enjoy the show, but I'm not going to enjoy the show. So I'm kind of shy, and I don't want to, like, fuck this dandy boy's face right in front of her. So I decide to go to the communal laundry area. And I figure it's kind of safe. It's 5:30, 5:45 in the morning. Luckily, the guy just woke up from a nap in front of his car, in front of the bar, just around the corner. So it was like 500 feet away is what Grindr said, 500 feet away. That's less than a 1 minute walk or stumble, depending on your condition. So he comes over, and we decide to go to the laundry room, and I've got the code because I knew that I was going to want to do something later. So I asked my host, what's the code to the laundry room? I might need to fuck in it. He says, oh, that's a great place. I love it. Because he's also queer and likes to mess around and do fun things like that. So he doesn't want his husband to catch. So the laundry room, I've got the code. We go there. I see that there is laundry spinning. It's granny panties. But on the bright side, it says I have 29 minutes. It is on. I don't care what his name is. I don't care if he has cotton mouth. He is on his knees. My dick is out and it is in his mouth and he is gagging on it and he is crying and begging for more. I loved that he had to take off his necktie because his throat was bulging. He had his pants, his spats, down around his ankles and he was playing with his little limp drunk dick. I didn't really care. It wasn't about him, it was about me. And so, 8 minutes have passed because I'm watching this timer thinking, oh no, this is really, really good and I'm really enjoying it. Just let this last a little bit longer. I'm almost there. And I forgot to mention this when we walked into the laundry room, but the only light in the laundry room is this timer counting down to when the abuelita is going to come in and catch us. And the lights are off. There are no lights. And it's like a 4-foot walk from the door where the light switch is to around the corner and behind the dryer where I'm getting my dick sucked. And it's one of those double stack dryers, so I thought she can't see me. 8 minutes into it, bing, light goes on. Whoop, up go my pants. Up goes my hood. And I'm like, sudden shame and guilt and fear and everything all at once and excitement because I'm still kind of hard and I'm not done yet and my dick is still hard. What if she sees my big hard dick? I'm like, ah. So I face the wall and I run out of there as fast as I can. I totally leave him in the dust. I don't know if his pants are up. I don't know if his mustache is tweaked. I don't know if he could find his glasses. I don't know if they're real glasses. He's a dandy. They could be just costume. I don't know. I'm out of there. The sun is coming up in LA. It's hot already. It's maybe like 6:59 or 5:59, almost 6 o'clock. And I still want to finish. And he eventually makes the walk of shame out of the laundry room. And I see him. We make eye contact. You were just sucking my dick. You need to finish what you started. I make him suck my dick on the stairs in front of their house on the main street. I didn't care. It was great. Afterwards, he took me to his car and smoked me out. It was a win-win. Not complaining. It was good little aftercare. So that was this weekend. One of my favorite stories to remember. From Grindr, have you? I don't know what it is, but whenever people have their birthdays, they just want to have an orgasm. But what about you? Do you like to have an orgasm on your birthday? I know, I do too. And so do lots of other fucking perverts that are on Grindr. And it says, birthday boy, looking for a present. I think he just wanted to use the cake emoji. Anyways, I couldn't pass up this opportunity. It was like his 27th birthday, and he wanted to get pounded out before he goes back to Seattle. And he's this hot little Middle Eastern pocket gay. Like, when I mean pocket gay, I mean I can fold him up and stick him in my pocket and hide him through security, and nobody will know. He's tiny, he's hairy, he's got a bulging ass, and it's hungry. And I'm going to feed it. And let me tell you, those hairy asses are the best makeup remover in the world. Oh, la 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 la. So the only thing is it's his birthday, and he's been out all night partying, and he wasn't feeling necessarily fresh. And being a sister of perpetual indulgence and being sex positive and harm reduction and doing the good word, I just happen to have a random silicon douche laying around the house that is freshly boiled and ready for use. So I provide nice soothing music like Enya. And I make the water a nice temperature so it doesn't burn. I give him a little bit of Vaseline so it doesn't hurt. I give him his privacy in his moment. He comes out, we have amazing sex, and then he leaves. And it's fantastic. I know you guys want to hear the juicy details, but it's not really about the sex. It's about what happens afterwards. Because of Grindr, I was so horny that I went back on, and I was still boiling his douche afterwards because you have to clean it. Well, children, I'll tell you that when you smoke pot, and you were looking for dick on Grindr, certain things slip your mind. And when you leave the house to go for that dick on Grindr, and forget that there is a silicon douche on the gas-burning stove, in the 4-liter crock pot, which is now empty. Yes, because I come back 2 hours later, and I open up my door, and it's as if a meth lab had exploded. It was the thickest wall of black, toxic bullshit you've ever inhaled. I immediately took a whiff and had CPOD. And then immediately feared for my cat's lives that are in this toxic waste that they call air. Luckily, the cats are okay. The smell came out. And let me tell you, Grindr, that is a wicked, powerful tool. Be respectful of it, children. And go forth and sin some more.
The morning after that happened, there's a picture of a boiled silicone douchebag in a pan that's all dry and crumbly. I'm like, what the fuck is that? And then she has to call me and tell me that she boiled somebody's douche nozzle to death. And there's like 28 apartments in her building. If you live in Flora's apartment, you're gonna die.
Hey, y'all, sorry for interrupting, but I need to do that thing that I do, which is to remind you to support us on Patreon. Patreon is how we're creating this thing and putting it out in the world, and we know you guys are listening overseas, and you're listening in parts of the country that don't have access to some of the stuff that we have here in San Francisco and in the other cities that I produce Body in. I know that it changes from city to city. And one day I'm going to come to your city, but till then, I got to keep putting this thing out on the internet so that you have it. And the only way that can happen is if you support us. So please go to patreon.com/body, and we're working on new rewards all the time. If you want to work on a personal story with me, if you want to be part of an intimate Google Hangout where we can talk and I can learn more about you, let's do that. So again, that's patreon.com/body.
Our final storyteller tonight is a voice and dialect and text coach who is an actor and a director, and this is her first time on the Body stage. And it's really scary to get up here and tell a story, especially my favorite kind of stories, if you know me, are the stories where you really show that side of yourself that you don't show to just anybody. You guys are in for something that you don't see just anywhere else. And I am so not only thrilled that she chose to tell this story at Body, but that she is going to be the finale of tonight's show about online dating. Our final storyteller tonight, Lisa Ann Porter.
It's funny, I'm a voice person, so I don't usually see a mic. So this story begins on a Tuesday in mid-December of 2015. And I am not eating, and I'm not sleeping, because I've just had my heart pretty abruptly broken by the man that I thought was going to be the rest of my life. Yeah, y'all are sweet. And I am trying to decide what to wear as I contemplate a day that is going to begin with my second OkCupid date with Kevin, and then is going to go to a memorial service for my friend Stuart, who took his own life. My friend Stuart was gay and in his mid-50s, and took his life at the end of a serious relationship with a much younger man. He'd been struggling for a while, probably drinking, maybe medicating, not showing up for work. And I imagine that on the day that he took his life, it was just a really, really bad day. And probably there were booze involved, and that he lost hope that life would ever get sweet again. And also you should know that on this day, I was gonna call Kevin, and I didn't, because I wanted to respect his grief. The end of this day, not Kevin's bad day, my slightly bad day. I have to go to a work Christmas party. So this is what I ended up in. Basic black, little bit of holiday green. Don't worry, I'm not Monica Lewinsky. It has been washed. So you may wonder, why am I going out on a second OkCupid date on the day of my friend's memorial service? And one of the reasons is this, that I'm scared that if I don't put myself back out there, that I'm going to shut my heart and my body away forever, and that, you know, maybe some years from now, there's going to be this really bad day, and I'm going to end up like Kevin. So I am not going to let that happen. So I am going out on my second OkCupid date with Kevin, who, let's see, is a cross between Ned Stark from Game of Thrones, wait for it, and the lead guy from Vikings. Yes. And we've had a breakfast date, and he is very sexy, and he's very sweet, and he is really, really, really smart, and he is very disarming in his ability to listen. So we meet at Cronenberger on Piedmont Avenue, and I have some salad. I actually do manage to eat. And then I have a little bit of, I think, his onion rings or something like that. And I explain that I am going to a Christmas party because I need him to understand why I'm dressed so formally, but I don't tell him about the memorial service because that just feels a little weird on a second date. And we're talking about really cool places, weird places in the Bay Area. And he says, hey, have you ever been to the Chapel of the Chimes? And I'm like, no, what's that? And he's like, well, it's right up the street, and it's this crematory columbarium, and it's like built in 1909, and it's really, really cool, and it's like this maze of marble rooms, and it's kind of like a library, and there are fountains, and there are all these kind of beautiful urns. And I'm thinking, whoa. And he says, well, would you like to check it out? And I thought, okay, I'm going to go to a crematory on the day of my friend's memorial service. This is getting weird, but somehow it feels like exactly the right thing to do, and I'm really liking being with Kevin. So I'm like, okay, yeah, that sounds great. I've got a little bit of time. So we get to the Chapel of the Chimes, which is beautiful if you've never been there. And it is a maze, and it's Tuesday, so there are not a lot of people there. There is a security guard walking around, however. And there are these rooms with these beautiful urns, and then there are these walls that look like post office boxes in an old post office, and they're filled with people's ashes. And there are epitaphs to read, and there are spiritual signs all around. And we're walking, and I'm thinking about Stuart, and at the same time, there's something about all the death and all the loss and all the grief, and there's this sexual tension that is just starting to build. And like, I'm walking in front of him, and I can feel him drinking me in. And then he's walking in front of me, and he's wearing this like really hot long duster coat. And it is building and building and building and building, and finally I just can't take it anymore. And we're about to exit one of these little rooms, and I just surprise myself. I turn around, I drop my purse on the floor, I step right into him belly to belly, and I plant my mouth on his, and he says something like, oh, thank God. And he brings his arm around me, whips me out of the doorway, puts me up against this wall that is one of those walls of post office boxes full of people's ashes. I'm not thinking about that right now. That's hindsight. And we're kissing slowly and deeply, and his hand is going up my blouse, and he's got my nipple between his fingers, and he's like beginning to pull up my skirt, and I kind of come out of shock, and I just reach down and pull this thing right up over the top of my waist, and his hand goes right down my stockings, and I'm thinking, oh my God, Lisa, what are you doing? You are in a crematory. You are going to a funeral.
Somebody is going to walk in and catch you. You guys are not going to get off. You are going to get caught. You do not have enough time for what is happening right now. This is your second date. What kind of girl does he think that you are right now? And then I'm also thinking, oh my God, if my Southern Baptist grandma saw me right now, oh, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus, sweet Jesus. And then his hand goes right in my panties and he gets right to my clitoris and he just starts to vibrate me on his hand. And I'm thinking, oh my God, he knows what he's doing. And I'm still thinking, no, 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 no. There's not enough time. You're not going to come in time. You're not going to come in time. You're going to totally embarrass yourself. This is going to end all weird and bad. And then I look across past his beautiful neck, and I see all these urns. And I think about Stuart, and I look at these urns, and I think, oh, my God, there are all these lives that have been lived, and maybe some of them are great, and maybe some people died early, and something just snaps inside me, and all of my focus goes into this man's hand on my pussy, and I'm completely giving in to that one place in the world, and then suddenly we hear footsteps. And I am starting to moan at this point. He gently puts his hand over my mouth. His hand is still here. And then very deftly, with one foot, he reaches out and moves my purse, which has been sitting in the open doorway this entire time, out of the way, continues what he was doing. The footsteps are still kind of there. It looks like maybe they've stopped. And I'm thinking, okay. If they hear me, I'm just going to pretend that I'm grieving. And if somebody comes in, I'm just going to collapse on his chest. I'm an actor. I can do this. And I'm just going to start crying, which I'm almost doing anyway. And the footsteps go away, and I start to come, and it's like my blood has turned to melted sugar. And I'm sobbing into his hand, and I'm holding onto that really hot duster coat because my legs are fucking collapsing. And I come, and it is amazing. And then all I can think of is, I want to make this man feel so damn good. Because he just made me feel amazing. And I whip him around. I put him up against the wall. I drop down very ladylike, because we have to be quiet. Pants go down. I look down, and he's wearing like these little kid Converse shoes. And I'm thinking there's something about those shoes and the really hot masculine coat. And my heart just kind of pops open. And he's beautiful. And I've got him in my hand. My mouth goes down on him. And I'm thinking, okay, Lisa, you've got like maybe two minutes. You've got to get this so right in 2 minutes. And there's no time to talk about what he likes because you're just going to get this right. And then I'm thinking, because if anybody comes in right now, there's no way they think you are grieving. No, the irony is, I am a study in grief. It's what it looks like right now. And he gets harder and harder, and he explodes down my throat. And then I just hold him there in my mouth until he's quiet. And I get up, and I get my dress together, and he gets himself together. And I reach down, I get my purse on my arm. He takes my hand. We walk out of the Chapel of the Chimes looking like two adults that have just maybe been to a deceased parent's grave. And we're not even really speaking. We're just kind of in awe of one another, I think, right now. We walk out. He drives me to BART. Welcome to the Bay Area. We have a lovely kiss, and I just kind of know I will see this person again. I get on BART, and I go to Stuart's service, and it's in this old historic building. And I've got like just fucked hair and kind of swollen, but I'm definitely feeling more like an angel than a whore. And It's a really hard service. It's really sad. And there are a lot of us sitting there thinking that we just failed him in some way. And I'm sitting there, and I am thinking about the phone call that I did not make that day. And I'm thinking about actually my father, who died of AIDS in 1988, and all of his friends that never saw the second half of their lives. And I'm thinking about Stuart, who will never see the second half of his life. And then it suddenly occurs to me that just maybe, if somebody on that really crappy, awful, bad day that he had could have turned him around and put him up against the Chapel of the Chimes wall with all those ashes behind him and made him feel something so deeply sweet that he got through that day and chose to do another one, and that maybe he would still be here with us. Thank you.
Take your bow. I have people pitch me stories all the time, and they think that they have to be raunchy. They have to be wild. And every single person here has a story. And sometimes there's someone brave enough to do a story like that, where we talk about what's really behind why we connect with other people online, why we connect with people in person. And I thought she did an amazing job. Give it up again for Lisa Ann Porter. We're going to end the night with music. Please make a lot of noise for the incredibly talented Amber Lee Baker.
Thank you. That was an incredible story. All the stories this evening have been really incredible. I am just so amazed. Thank you, Dixie, for putting this together. Just touches me. Okay, so I know a lot of you out there probably like group sex. Who out there wants to raise their hand to group sex? Okay, so this song is a sing-along about group sex. So it requires audience participation. I want to send you off with a big fun image of orgies in your minds. So the only thing you need to know are the words, oh yes. And you're going to scream, yell, sing, moan them when the oh yes part happens. And it'll be pretty obvious because the words right before it are very obvious. I'll get there and then I'll make the gesture and you'll know what happens. So we'll just get this song started and just remember, oh yes. Curiosity has gotten the best of me. I want more than one at a time. Our chemistry has gravity and it could be shared with more bodies combined. I know of a party, a sexy safari, a place where orgies can grow. The sights will astound us, the smells will surround us, the sounds all around us will go. Here we go. Okay.
That's it. And you're going to be doing that a few more times.
Human animals like sculptures of tentacles with music of moans and groans. Hips and thighs, breasts and eyes help us realize our joy in not being alone. Lay down on that mattress and rip off my dress. I'm eager to romp and roll. The sights seduce us, the smells infuse us, the sounds reduce us to oh. Here we go. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We start to climax in a vortex filled with hot sex, embracing the blurring swirl. It is natural and physical and sensual, and as old as the world. Let's bring more in, initiate some friends. It's amazing, and we will sing. The sights seduce us, the smells infuse us, the sounds reduce us to oh. Here we go. Oh, yes.
Thank you. That was awesome.
Thank you.
Make some noise for Amberly Baker. So if you've been sitting there thinking about your stories, Dixie@bodystorytelling.com. That's how you spell body storytelling. You start sending me stories right now. Like, you're on your phone right now sending me a story. There is nothing more powerful than getting on stage and sharing your secret life with a bunch of strangers in the dark. People come up to you. I was watching people at the break telling all the people who were in the first half of the show how amazing their story was, how much they loved hearing it. And you connect with people on this level that you've never connected before. If you were a performer at Body Storytelling tonight, could you please come up to the stage? These are the storytellers of Body Storytelling's Craigslist. All right, that was it. That was episode 13, and I'm a superstitious motherfucker, and I think 13 went pretty good. If you listened to last week and this week, you got to hear an entire evening of what a body storytelling sounds like. And if you happen to be in the San Francisco Bay Area today, which is January 11th, you could come see a live show. You could play bingo. You could win prizes. You could meet the love of your life, or at least the love of one particular night, maybe tonight. Tonight's theme is Choose Your Own Adventure. We are at the Verdi Club on Mariposa. You can get tickets at bodystorytelling.com. And on January 25th, we're going to be part of San Francisco Sketchfest. That's very hard to say. You can get tickets for that show at sfsketchfest.com. We will be at the Punchline, and we have an incredible lineup. We have Emmett Montgomery. I will have a story from trans comedian Natasha Muse, a story from me, and music from Jefferson Berge, who writes custom body songs for me all the time. And I am a little intimidated by the Punchline, and I would really appreciate it if you'd be there. So get your tickets in advance if you can. I want to say thank you to all the performers who were in this full episode. Alyssa Westerlund, Jessica Lipsky, Lisa Ann Porter, Flora Goodtime, and Susanna Lee all the way from LA to come do Body in San Francisco. If you think this looks fun, you're damn right. It's a fun show. And more than anything, it's going to make you feel so happy to be in the skin you're in. And I would be remiss if I did not thank the team that helps make this possible. My podcast producer, Matthew Martyr, David Grossoff, who is our audio recording engineer, Joe Moore, who records video, Ruben Tan, who runs our live streaming. You can watch a live streaming of the whole show at bodystreaming.com. And there are so many more people who make this show happen. Please come join us at a live show soon, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.
But on the bright side, it says I have 29 minutes.